You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, August 17, 2022. If I could change the world, growing crude oil export volumes reshape domestic and global markets. Published by David Brazil. Yesterday's weekly petroleum status report from the Energy Information Administration included an eye-popping statistic: 5 million barrels a day of crude oil were exported from the U.S. in the week ended August 12. It's the highest U.S. export volume ever reported, and by a margin of nearly 500,000 barrels a day. But as huge as that top-line number is, as many headlines as it's sure to grab, it's not unexpected. Major changes in international crude markets, coupled with tectonic shifts in North American upstream and midstream, have conspired to push U.S. exports higher and higher. In today's RBN blog, we examine the factors leading up to this point and what it means for crude markets in the U.S. and abroad. We'll start by tempering the news somewhat. As significant as 5 million barrels per day is, it's important to note that the prior week's reported exports were an underwhelming 2.1 million barrels per day. The crude oil export figures reported by the EIA tend to bounce around a lot from week to week. Some weeks, very large crude carriers, or VLCCs, and other vessels might be counted just before or after the weekly cutoff time. An additional variable that ought to be considered when looking at the weekly figures is what the EIA calls unaccounted for crude volumes in their weekly statistics that balance out the difference between supply, demand, and inventory change. See one piece at a time for how that math works. So looking at a four-week moving average gives a much clearer sense of how exports have been trending. So far this summer, they've averaged around 3.4 million barrels per day, their highest level since just before COVID hit in early 2020. Figure 2 in today's blog on the website provides a little more detail about what's going on recently, with volumes broken out by exporting region. These are numbers based on our ship tracking model, which we detail each week in our Crude Voyager report. Because the data is based on ship departures from export terminals, the numbers do not match up with EIA stats on a weekly basis, but they usually do so over time. So according to these numbers, the volumes out of Corpus Christi have averaged a little over 2 million barrels per day this summer, while the Houston region has averaged 800,000 barrels per day, with the remainder coming out of Louisiana at 320,000 barrels per day, and Beaumont Port Arthur at 110,000 barrels per day. Make no mistake, average crude exports of 3.4 million barrels per day is nonetheless a ponderously large volume that would have been hard to imagine as recently as 2015. When most crude exports to countries other than Canada were still banned. In a blog we did at the time, called Imagine, we said that lifting the crude export ban would result in crude distribution operating more efficiently, since surplus crude could simply be exported and refiners could process the crudes they preferred based on quality rather than wrestling with grades they were not best configured to handle. As it turns out, the efficient movement of crude oil to the refineries best optimized to run it domestically and overseas is still a key consideration in today's market, 6.5 years after the export ban was lifted. We put out a blog at the beginning of 2022 titled Every Little Thing, that considered the combined impact of crude pipeline modifications and refinery closures and how they would affect Gulf Coast export markets. The main points were that the combined impact of the completion of the Enbridge Line 3 replacement project, the expansion of the Dakota Access Pipeline, or DAPL, the reversal of the Capline Pipeline, and the start of an expansion of Energy Transfer's Cushing South Pipeline project would combine to make a lot more Canadian, MidCon, and Rockies crude available in Louisiana and the Beaumont Port Arthur region. At the same time, refinery closures, particularly the Shell Convent and the Phillips 66 Alliance refineries in Louisiana, where the now southbound Capline terminates, would mean less capacity available to process that crude. That was a recipe for higher exports, so we followed up by assessing the potential growth in U.S. exports based on crude quality that domestic refineries could efficiently run, and the capacity for Gulf Coast terminals to handle increased export volumes. The upshot there was that we forecast exports to grow to 3.2 million barrels per day in 2022 and up to 4.4 million barrels per day in 2027, and that with a total estimated Gulf Coast export capacity of 6.5 million barrels per day, there was little danger of testing the limit. In hindsight, that export forecast is starting to look a bit conservative, but, in our defense, there have been a couple of very big things that have exacerbated the situation. For one, Russia's war against Ukraine and the resulting sanctions on Russian crude drove up prices. The higher prices incentivized producers in the US and Canada to grow production back to 12 million barrels per day and a little less than 5 million barrels per day, respectively, despite producer hesitancy and upstream headwinds, albeit not nearly as quickly as many might prefer. Together, that's about 840,000 barrels per day more North American crude oil production this summer than last. Another big slug of crude has come from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR. We wrote about the details of the planned release when it was announced in March, and I want to break free. As a result, the average net release from the SPR this summer has been 850,000 barrels per day of mostly medium sour crude hitting the Gulf Coast market, compared to about 70,000 barrels per day of crude released from the SPR in the summer of 2021. And crude oil quality matters here because Gulf Coast refiners are designed to efficiently handle sour crudes like most of what has been released from the SPR and increasingly shipped down from Canada. That's in contrast to refineries in some parts of the world, where less complex refineries need an increasing proportion of sweet, low-sulfur crude, like what is commonly produced in U.S. shale plays, to meet IMO 2020 standards. What's more, even for places that have refineries with desulfurization capabilities, high natural gas prices, like in Europe for example, can make desulfurization uneconomic. Put another way, the quality of the incremental crude either produced here or in Canada or released from the SPR will impact how much gets run in North American refineries and how much will be pushed into overseas export markets. Of course, the quality of crude available for export, and thus the attractiveness of it in various destination markets, will be at least somewhat, and in many cases very, different for each exporting terminal. Producing basins and plays within those basins have differing production profiles. Further, they have differing access to storage with blending capabilities, to pipelines with batching capabilities, to Gulf Coast regions with refining and terminaling options, and to export terminals with loading capabilities. So, which regions and terminals see increased export volumes will depend on which basins see volume growth and which midstreamers win throughput. We've discussed some success stories this year, like in our recent blog about the EPIC crude pipeline out of the Permian nearing its capacity. But we've also noted that some Gulf Coast markets have struggled with the quality, or at least the perception of quality, that can be offered to international customers, mercaptans and iron and sulfur, oh my. All of which ultimately is manifest in the prices marketers get for the crude, which is why we've seen, for example, crude oil out of Corpus Christi trading at a premium over Houston for much of the year. As a result of sanctions against Russian crude, we've already seen the major focus of U.S. crude tanker exports shift this year. Figure 4 in today's blog breaks down the destination markets of U.S. crude oil during the first 6 months of 2022 into four categories: Asia, Europe, Latin America, and North America. There was a notable shift from primarily Asia-bound volumes last winter to primarily Europe-bound volumes this spring and summer. Canadian and U.S. crude production looks poised to keep growing, and with that growth, as long as politicians don't do anything crazy, we have the ability to not only blunt Putin's energy weapon, but to continue helping the cogs of the global economy to turn. U.S. crude exports and the upstream and midstream dynamics that shape them will be a central theme at RBN's upcoming ExportCon 2022. The conference will feature keynotes from Scott Sheffield, CEO of Pioneer Natural Resources, Steve Keen, CEO of Kinder Morgan, and Jim Teague, co-CEO of Enterprise Products Partners. We'll also be sitting down with panels of experts like Brian Freed, CEO of EPIC, and Beau McCall, CEO of Moda Midstream, to discuss what they see coming up in crude oil export markets. To see the brochure and agenda, click here. Change the World was written by Tommy Sims, Gordon Kennedy, and Wayne Kirkpatrick. It was originally recorded by Wynonna Judd, and a cover version was recorded by Eric Clapton for the soundtrack of the 1996 film Phenomenon. The track was produced by R&B record producer Kenneth Edmonds, aka Babyface. Clapton's version of the song has been featured on over 20 releases, including extended plays and various artists' compilation albums, and reached the top 40 charts in 20 countries, including number 1 on the US Billboard Adult Contemporary and Adult Top 40 charts. The single won 8 awards, including 3 Grammy Awards in 1997. The Phenomenon soundtrack features various artists who contributed to the music score of the 1996 American romantic fantasy drama film starring John Travolta. In addition to Eric Clapton, the soundtrack features performances by Brian Ferry, Jewel, Marvin Gaye, and Peter Gabriel. The album topped the Billboard 200 albums chart and sold more than 1.5 million copies. It was certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Every Day is a Winding Road, from Sheryl Crow's 1996 self-titled album, was featured in the film, but was not on the soundtrack. Eric Clapton is an English rock and blues guitarist, singer, and songwriter. He is regarded as one of the most successful and influential guitarists in rock music. Clapton is ranked number 2 in Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Guitarists of All Time, number 4 in Gibson's Top 50 Guitarists of All Time, and number 5 in Time Magazine's list of the 10 Best Electric Guitar Players. He continues to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.